This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Donald Trump, siding with the KKK and self-proclaimed Nazis and fascists, shocked many with his defense of Confederate statues when he tweeted, quote, "Sad to see the history and culture of our great country being ripped apart with the removal of our beautiful statues and monuments." Many cities around the country are removing Confederate-era statues of historical figures like Robert E. Lee, and white supremacist groups and the president don't like it. While the statues represent the, quote, history and culture of our great country for some white Americans, for African Americans in particular, they represent the defense of mass enslavement, repression, and violence. My guest is Yohuru Williams. He is the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at St. Thomas University, the author of Black Politics, White Power, Civil Rights, Black Power, and Black Panthers in New Haven, and Teaching U.S. History Beyond the Textbook. He's the editor of A Constant Struggle, African American History from 1865 to the Present, Documents and Essays. And he recently wrote an article in the Progressive magazine entitled No Two Sides About It, Confederate Statues Must Come Down. Welcome to the program, Dr. Williams.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first, when Donald Trump says these represent the history of this country, the beautiful history, they're beautiful statues, shouldn't we remind ourselves that most of these Confederate statues were actually built after the Civil War ended, right? They were built during the Jim Crow racist era of the United States in a way to rewrite history rather than actually be historical.
That's absolutely correct. You see a wave of memorialization of the Civil War taking place during two key periods in American history. The first was in the decades after the Civil War that coincided very much with the onset of Jim Crow segregation in the United States. And you had these memorials erected by groups like the Daughters of the Confederacy. And they were really doing this to commemorate the lost cause, the idea that the South would rise again. And so just after the production of the movie Birth of a Nation, the novel turned into a movie, the novel by Thomas Dixon turned into a movie by D.W. Griffith, you see a rash of these Confederate memorials bought online in many cities. And then many people forget that it's during the 1950s and 1960s, during the height of the Civil Rights Movement, that many of these Confederate war memorials went up. And that was a direct response to when, in some way, many Southern states thumbing their noses at the federal government as the United States was dealing with the issue of dismantling Jim Crow segregation during the Civil Rights Movement.
So the Confederate statues and Confederate symbolism is, of course, directly related to the defense of the institution of slavery. But those who defend the Confederate symbols don't always come out and say so. What is it that they do say in defense of Confederate symbols?
Their argument is twofold. What they claim ultimately is that the symbols themselves are less a representation of the defense of slavery and more an affirmation of Southern culture. The idea that somehow the South is unique, and as a result of that unique status that the South represented and the Civil War, and how the men fought bravely in the Civil War for the defense of those values and those ideals, that these Confederate symbols and the Confederate flag are simply an affirmation of that history and culture. The problem is you cannot divorce slavery from that history. You can't divorce the history of racial oppression from that history. You'll often find people, even trained historians, will make the argument that the Civil War ultimately wasn't about slavery. It was about states' rights. The question for us is, a state's right to do what? And ultimately, the answer was, a state's right whether to maintain the institution of slavery or abolish it. And ultimately, the South was willing to go to war in order to ensure that that right would not be taken away. Even Alexander Stevens, the vice president of the Confederacy, articulated it in a famous speech when he said, the cornerstone of their new form of government would be slavery. The idea that African Americans, that Black people, that Negroes, using the lexicon of the time, were not equal to whites, and that was his natural position, and that the Confederacy would honor that and build a government based on that, as he called it, great truth.
In your article in the Progressive, entitled No Two Sides About It, Confederate Statues Must Come Down, you bring up much more recent history regarding a statue, and that is when the U.S. invaded Iraq after the September 11th attacks and tore down the statue of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Why is that incident that happened on the other side of the planet relevant to the discussion of Confederate statues in the U.S.?
I think it's relevant for a couple of reasons. I think it's relevant, one, because I think when most people think about what's happening right now and don't understand why African-Americans and others would be angered by these symbols of oppression, we simply can go back to what happened in the aftermath of 9/11 and see that these advancing military forces on the behalf of the United States thought it was important to remove a symbol of Saddam Hussein, a symbol of his power, of his bloody regime. And that's important because ultimately what you see societies do is dismantle the symbols we associate with things that do not coincide with our values. You certainly would not expect to see, and a lot have made this argument in the media, any type of memorializations to the Nazis in Germany. And certainly one could understand in the case of what happened in the Gulf War, these American advancing military forces saying, we're coming after Saddam Hussein, and one of the ways to send a message that we don't respect or honor this regime is by taking down the statue. Statues are very powerful symbols. In the same way that today you have African Americans and others making the case that what these statues, Confederate statues, represent is the worst of our values as a society. We've repudiated those values by virtue of civil rights activism over the last 50 years. And what we're saying and taking or demanding that those statues be taken down and put in the museum is that not that we forget that history, but that we recognize that these symbols have power. And we want to erase them from the public landscape.
Well, what do you make of the argument that the symbols do at least show that there was this history in the United States? I mean, some have suggested the statues should be just melted down and tossed aside or reformed into something else. Others have suggested moving them to a museum where the U.S., you know, where there is a dialogue about what happened during the war. What do you make of those arguments and these discussions?
As a historian, I think some of those arguments have merit. I would not want to see any of the historically significant statues destroyed. I think they do have a proper place in a museum where people can talk about that history in context. I think that when you have monuments and markers and memorials that pepper the public square, where there's no invitation to reflect on the history that they call to mind, that's a problem. To have schools, for example, named after Stonewall Jackson or Robert E. Lee, as many are in the South, that's a problem because you have young people now going to those schools, not understanding that history, and then really having to live with the representation of these people who fought for the subjugation of people of color, having a school named in their honor. What message does that send to the young people that attend? What message does it send to the community? You have many states like the state of Virginia in Washington, D.C., Congress allows every state to have two statues of historically significant people placed in its rotunda. In Virginia, there are two slaveholders who are there, George Washington and Robert E. Lee. While I have no problem with the Washington statue, even though he was a slaveholder, there's a critical difference between Washington and Lee, and that is the fact that Lee waged war against the United States as part of the Confederacy to preserve the institution of slavery. We can, in some sense, be disturbed by Washington's past and recognize that in a much broader context at the time. Whereas the problem with the Confederacy is that ultimately this was a government that was constructed. This was a war that was waged, that was traitorous, and that ultimately sought to preserve the institution of slavery, even at the cost of secession from the Union.
So when Donald Trump, in his second press conference where he addressed the Charlottesville violence, he said, so this week it is Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson is coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really have to ask yourself, where does it stop? Some responded by saying, sure, yeah, let's take all these statues down. But you draw the line with Washington because even though he was a slaveholder, he didn't fight on behalf of preserving slavery?
I think you can make a case for Washington in that way. I'll put it this way. I think there are certain statues like statues to General George Custer, who massacred Native Americans in this country. that are offensive because they represent the worst of our values as a society. Ultimately, there is a lot that we can celebrate in the presidency of George Washington, even though we must recognize the morally reprehensible thing that he did and the maintenance of slavery. And yet, understanding that in the context of where the world was in that historic moment, and the fact that Washington, Jefferson, and their colleagues ultimately built or crafted a constitution that could be amended, and in that amendment process, we've expanded the meaning of freedom and liberty for Americans in ways that have been quite meaningful. From the 19th Amendment that liberated women to a certain extent, to talking about civil rights legislation. That's the genius of the U.S. Constitution. And you can link slaveholders to that conversation and have a very meaningful conversation and dialogue about the evolution of American democracy in that context. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that with Confederate war leaders. You can't do that with Robert E. Lee. You can't do that with Jefferson Davis. You can't do that with Alexander Stevens, because ultimately the cornerstone of the Confederacy was slavery, and they had seceded from the Union. We're talking about, again, a separate government, and a government that at all costs would have sought to preserve that institution. I see in Maryland recently, they took down a statue of Roger Taney, who was Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court when it issued the infamous Dred Scott decision. One could argue that Taney had a distinguished career. There were other aspects of his jurisprudence that one could point to and talk about its significance and importance on American judicial history. But yet the decision for which he became known and the decision that ultimately laid the groundwork for the Civil War was the Dred Scott decision. It's important for us to recognize that history to understand why some people would see a Taney statue as offensive.
And there are groups around the country who, in protesting these Confederate statues, vandalized them, spray painted them with symbols with words like end racism or Black Lives Matter. Was that a sort of public cry for that context that is missing from these Confederate statues? Because it's not as though the plaques at the bottom of the statues are reminding the public of the racist context, right?
And therein lies the problem, that these statues exist in spaces where there is no context, there is no explanation. We think about what happened in New Orleans, for example, when they took down a P.T. Beauregard statue and people were so upset. You know, part of the problem there is that, you know, again, when you don't know that history and you don't know, again, even in some cases, the history of how those statues were erected, the groups that were behind them and what they stood for, all of that matters. There's been this big question of what do you do in these spaces that have been vacated when you take down these statues, and what do you replace them with? I think Richmond, Virginia is interesting because here was an instance of a community that said, look, we want to represent the history of our entire community. And so they have an entire plaza with statues that both commemorate the Civil War, but also commemorate the civil rights movement, that have monuments to Martin Luther King and Arthur Ashe, but also to Robert E. Lee and George Washington. And I think in that context, because they try to portray the entire history of the state and space, that's very valuable. When you're talking about other places where you have these statues to Civil War leaders, Confederate leaders, when you have the raising of the Confederate flag on U.S. soil, you know, that's problematic and it's very different. Then it's not about the history. It's ultimately about affirming white supremacy. And that's why these symbols and these statues have become beacons for those who want to support that agenda even today.
Among the people whose statues could, you know, sort of mark that other side of history might be somebody like Dick Gregory, one of the, you know, well-known comedians. Well, he called himself a humorist, but also a civil rights activist who was arrested many times during the civil rights movement when he marched. He recently died. He died, in fact, this past Saturday, August 19th, at the age of 84 in Washington, D.C. of heart failure, you know, at the same time that tens of thousands of people were marching in Boston against white supremacy. We really lost a huge icon in Dick Gregory. And for our audience, by the way, I had the honor of interviewing Mr. Gregory in 2010. If you go to our website, risingupwithsonali.com, you can listen to that interview. So finally, let me ask you to reflect, Yohuru, on the legacy of somebody like Dick Gregory as we're talking about this this history and these statues that were built around the time Dick Gregory was getting arrested for protesting for civil rights.
It's interesting, Sonali, because I heard that interview that you did with Dick Gregory a few years back, and one of the things that you can say about him is that he remained committed to social justice in the United States. Here's a person who never wavered from his commitment to the idea that not only were people of color oppressed because of the sheer color of their skin, but that there were legal remedies to that, but that those legal remedies also had limitations. And that really what you needed to do was to expand the way that we talked about poverty in this country. In fact, one of the things that's interesting about Dick Gregory is that he went on to become very involved in health questions and questions of health for communities of color. Today, we take for granted conversations about food deserts, but Dick Gregory was raising issues about nutrition, about mental health for people of color for a long time. His was a life of service, and he's someone we can look to and celebrate. You mentioned the possible statue. There's a statue to the great humorist H.L. Meekin in Maryland. I think Dick Gregory would certainly be worthy of being commemorated in that way. His would be a very positive example for young people to follow. And I think, again, because you can emphasize that life of service, it's certainly someone we'd want to emulate.
Well, Yohuru Williams, maybe someday you and I will have a conversation about a statue of Dick Gregory going up. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Yohuru Williams is the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at St. Thomas University. And we've been discussing his recent article in the Progressive magazine entitled No Two Sides About It, Confederate Statues Must Come Down. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.